Check out Slug Magazine's merch store through Big Cartel for crewnecks and snapbacks designed by Trent Call, zip-up hoodies designed by Slug's lead designer, Joshua Joy, and Death by Salt albums featuring rad local music.
Shh, are you listening?
This is Slug Soundwaves. I am Bobby from Endless Struggle, and I sing.
I'm Jesse. I play guitar in Endless Struggle.
Other band members are Jeff Johnson. He plays drums. Taylor White, second guitar. Darren Hutchison, bass. We have a show coming up at Area 51 on March 12th. I believe it starts at about 5 o'clock. This is a great thing that Kay Jones has put together. It's really, really cool. She's got bands coming in from all over America. It's phenomenal. It's a really good thing.
We're not going to presume that we established anything, honestly. When I was a kid, I was going to punk shows and seeing all of these rad bands playing all kinds of, like, really, really good punk music, Victims Willing and NSC and Hate Times Nine, and that made me want to play music. We're talking about 20 years ago when we started. Rancid came out, and there was a bit of a surge there for a bit, but we weren't like Rancid. We're a different band, more just street punk. I joined in 1995, I believe, and by 1996, we were already planning to tour. We started printing our own t-shirts in Bobby's living room and duplicating the tapes. So we went on tour and came back, and it was still really hard. There was not a lot of venues that were allowing punk bands to play. We had to, like, really work hard over, you know, probably a 3-year time period in order to, you know, get some place. All of the older bands that were around, NSC and a lot of the bands that I went to when I was a kid, they had kind of stopped playing and we're doing more of the political stuff. So that's where Diver City came in to play. Dwayne from NSC opened that warehouse and started doing shows there. We noticed that surge right around that time. The kids were coming, like, from Wyoming, and they knew all the songs, and that's when they started to actually, like, be able to, like, sing along with our songs. And it was at that Diver City show that we first noticed that, you know, we were doing something. We were, like, a little bit more than just a local punk band.
Yeah, so the Casualties came through town. We opened up for them, and Jake seemed to like us a lot. He asked us if we'd be interested in doing a 7-inch. We were like, fuck yeah, we're interested. He was the founder of Charge Records. He liked us. He signed us.
He saw, like, one of our flyers from us playing on the West Coast, and then when we opened for him, he was like, you guys were really good. I see that you guys have toured and, you know, booked all your own shit, so let's do this compilation. Then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to fly you out, and we're going to do a full-length record.
After Beer, Studs, and Punks, we did End the Day record with them.
Leather, Studs, and Punks.
Shit.
Beers,
just kidding.
Beer's a song on
on that 7-inch.
Then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to fly you out, and we're going to do a full-length record. And we flew out to New Jersey, and recorded it, put it out.
Our record got released a little bit late. We were actually on tour when it came out. We were in Atlanta when we finally received them. By the time he got back to Salt Lake, it was already in stores here, so the kids had already bought the records while we were on tour before we got back. Then we did a show, and it was like, whoa, where the hell did that come from? And we just had no idea. We didn't expect that at all, and it was really cool, really cool.
The bonds that we formed, we started playing, you know, we did our own tour, and it was kind of all on our own. Once we hooked up with Jake, then he started helping us to book tours with, you know, the Casualties and other bands. We went on a full U.S. tour. It was 7 weeks, and it was with Antidote, The Virus, The Casualties, of course, and we just went all over the entire country playing with these guys. And every, you know, when you go on tour, you are spending all of your time, like, you know, 24 hours a day with these people. So we started really getting to know each other really well. The Virus, we really connected with, and we toured with The Virus so much that we ended up playing each other's songs, just fucking with each other, and it was pretty awesome. We you know, if we were opening up for them, we'd play one of their songs, and then they couldn't play it. If they were opening up for us, they would play one of our songs, you know, just on the road, because we played so many shows together, it just kind of, you know, got to the point where we had to make things fun. We had to, like, mix it up a little bit. So realistically, the reason we're doing this reunion, the main reason for me is, like, I just wanted to get in free to see all of these awesome bands. Like, there's so many cool bands that are playing, and, you know, this way I actually get to, like, not only see them, but we get to hang out and, you know, maybe talk about, like, old shit, old times.
Yeah, so we were on an East Coast tour with Lower Class Brats and Virus 9, and heading up to do a big festival in New Jersey called Holidays in the Sun. And this is, if you can imagine, this is a very, very, very nice plush hotel, 5-star hotel. Anyhow, you get how many thousands of drunken punk rockers in there, I have no idea, but there was a shit ton. And first day was pretty mellow, went all good, and then things started happening, like spray paint on the walls and mirrors getting ripped down. I witnessed TVs getting thrown out of the window of the 10th floor. It was nuts. I was downstairs in the lobby trying to get up to my room. So the elevator comes down, and someone had got a fire hose and filled the whole elevator full, all the way full of water, and as it came down, it just all came gushing out like a massive flood. It was nuts. Holidays in the Sun no longer comes to America. It's been banned. I don't think that's what punk rock's about. I mean, there was people ripped out the mattresses out of their room. They were in the stairwell. They were all over the floor everywhere. It was just very irresponsible, but it was disgraceful.
We show up into Oklahoma City with no place to go, and all of us are just shit-faced. So we drive down, we go to a gas station, and the gas station attendant saw how fucked up we were and just gave us a bunch of free hot dogs. So we have these free hot dogs, and we're like, all right, well, now we just need a place to sleep. So we start driving, and that's where we ended up in. There's like this nice grassy, you know, pine tree for shelter. Like, we'll just crash here. And so everybody gets in their sleeping bags.
And the next thing we know, a few minutes later, we hear someone at the front door clicking a shotgun.
And the guy was like, "What the hell are you doing here?
Get the fuck out of my property."
Immediately, we just like grab our shit, throw it in the van, and take off. I got bronchitis. I broke a bunch of ribs, like from coughing and sleeping on concrete. And we still just like powered through.
SLDP was, I think, on one of our t-shirts originally. Greg Christensen, Oni Tattoo, he was our original bass player, and he would draw a lot of the designs for our t-shirts. He came up with that, and from that point, it just kind of, you know, escalated. Cops ended up showing up so often, and they saw this SLDP... you know, written all over everything. So we actually ended up being, like, labeled as a street gang for a while. And, like, kids started tagging SLDP all over everything. And we were technically, like, on the, like, gang list for Salt Lake.
You know, you got the Bloods and the Crips, then you've got SLDP. Literally, no shit. So the whole SLDP tattoo thing is... it's kind of part of the original Endless Struggle logo. We were at Bert's Tiki Lounge one day, and we arranged to be there. It was actually earlier. I think they opened up at 12 for us to be in there that day. And I think the initial go-in was about 10 to 15 of us. And then since then, I've seen so many more. I would think that there's probably, what, Jesse? At least 50? There's a lot. There's a lot. I don't know. And it was just like a bunch of friends playing shows together, kind of being best of friends, hanging out, you know, promoting shows, doing, you know, whatever. So that's kind of where that came from.
Alcohol-fueled, you know, bad decisions is basically the basis behind Endless Struggle. In 2000, when I was on tour, I ended up, we were in San Francisco, and we played a show, and it was my night to have off, right? I was not driving. I get super drunk, and we play our show. And then all of a sudden, our drummer, it's like, "Hey, dude, I think it's your turn to drive." And he's like, "Oh, I'm fucking shit-faced. I can't drive." So we started arguing back and forth, and finally I'm just like, "Fuck it, I'll drive. I don't give a fuck." And all I remember is, like, driving across the Bay Bridge, and we're following the casualties van, and all of a sudden they pull over, and we end up in a Denny's parking lot, and they're just like, "Dude, you can't fucking drive. Like, we were watching you, and, like, it's not a good situation." So, like, all right. And we had a 15-hour drive, so we really wanted to, like, make this show. It's a super important show. So a certain individual was like, "Dude, you need to do something about this, and I have something that probably will help you." And he's like, "All right, here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna, like, put two lines of white powder on this fucking table, and you're going to snort it, and you're going to, like, you know, make it to Portland for this show." So I did it, and fucking, it was, like, amazing. Like, oh my god. Like, I fucking drove the entire time, just fucking high as fuck, but anyway. So we get to Portland, we play the show, and then, like, a couple days go by, and I had not slept at all. And I started freaking out, like, "There's something fucking wrong. What the fuck did he give me?" You know, freaking out. It ended up being crystal meth. I hate, like, talking about this, you know, but I think that
it's important for like kids to understand like this shit will fuck you up so bad. So I freaked out. I fucking like walked around the fucking streets all night in Portland. And the next day we drove to Seattle, and by that time I was just fucking just freaking out.
He's like, get me on a plane, now I'm leaving. Didn't even play the show.
Flew out of Tacoma and back to Salt Lake. Ever since then, every time I fucking like go on the road or go out, vacation or whatever, it doesn't matter, I get that feeling back of like that super bad anxiety, horrible feeling, and it just makes me want to like, I have to run back home or whatever. That's the initial feeling. So for the rest of my life, I've been, you know, kind of fighting that, and I will always have to fight it. I think that anxiety like existed in me, and this just kind of was the trigger that brought it out. So that had a lot to do with Endless Struggle. Like, I couldn't tour. So these guys, you know, we'd book tours, and I'd fucking make it, like, halfway through or whatever, or even fucking, like, within the first few days, and just fucking have to, like, quit, fly back. Like, the whole purpose of, like, actually coming out with all that stuff is, one, to explain, like, to everybody, like, what happened and why Endless Struggle started to, you know, falter, and two, so that, like, people actually understand, like, you know, being punk rock doesn't mean just doing whatever the fuck. It ends up coming back. It fucking ends up, like, you know, really hitting you pretty fucking hard. And they say, like, the thing that I keep always thinking about is, they say, like, don't do drugs. It'll ruin your life. And, you know, I used to just, like, fucking laugh at that shit. Like, oh, whatever, you know? And it actually happened. I planned on traveling and playing music. That was like the best thing in my entire life. I loved it so much. And this one stupid mistake triggered that. And, you know, since then, I struggle every fucking day. The funny thing is, other musicians I know have gone through the same thing. Touring is a hard fucking life. It's not fucking easy. Hopefully kids listen to this and hopefully avoid ending up in the same kind of situations. There was a Facebook post of some guy from back east that was like, what's the worst like 90s street punk band? And he's like, I think it's Endless Struggle. I'm like, all right, cool. But you heard of us, so, you know, maybe we are terrible. Maybe we're fucking horrible, but when kids come to our shows, our only purpose is to give them an outlet for, you know, for one night. They experience all these horrible things. They have fucking terrible parents. They have, you know, drug addictions. They have these breakups, you know, and they feel horrible. But if we can just give them one night where they're, like, free and they can do whatever they need to do, and just have fun and let loose and, you know, circle pit and sing along to the songs, then we are successful. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay, so this next song that's going to be coming up is No Luck from In The Day album.
Yeah!
Yeah, the show is at Area 51. It's Slutfest Salt Lake City on March 12th. Hopefully see you there. Cheers.